Good morning, Lighthouse. Welcome. It's so good to see you today. And for those joining us online, we are glad you're taking time to praise the Lord today. We do have a few announcements we want to make you aware of. All of you kids, you have Talent Expo practice today, so please plan to stay after service. And parents, please plan to pick them up at 3 p.m. And hopefully you brought a lunch or you're going to be really hungry. So that is right today. And there is a human video and there is a group song. And if you haven't said you want to be in that, you could still stay today. And I'm sure they'll find a spot for you. That is for Talent Expo. And the actual event will take place at the end of March right here in Cary at the high school. And so we encourage all of you adults to save that date and come and support our young people. And then also wanted to let you know, a reminder, every Thursday at 10 a.m. is Finishing Well, and they have opened that up. It's typically for the older individuals in our congregation, but they have opened that up to everybody for the next few weeks because they are doing some practical teaching, and they want everyone to be a part of it. So if you are available at 10 a.m. on Thursdays, come right here and join them for Finishing Well. Also, we have a baptism coming up. So if you feel the need to be baptized, please let me know. We will get you on the list for that. That will take place on March 12th. That is a Sunday. But we are going to go to Empowered Church because it's a little chilly outside. And so we're going to use their baptismal. So that will be in Findlay at 3 p.m. on March 12th. We will probably do another baptism in August at the creek. So if you prefer to be baptized at the creek, you can wait for that if you'd like. Otherwise, make plans to join us in Findlay on the 12th. And then if you notice the totes in the back, we are still collecting Christian material, and that will be sent overseas to bless people who don't have as much as we do. So we want to share what we have. So it doesn't have to be new at all, any used Bibles or Christian-based reading material, please drop those in the totes. But next Sunday is the very last day, so do not bring any in March. We will not have a tote. We do not want them on the tables, so please bring them next Sunday or keep them till next year. Is that fair enough? And my last announcement is we do have that marriage conference coming up this weekend. There is a sign on the window that gives details on how to apply if you'd like to go. So check out that sign, and Pastor Joe and I will be there, and a few others I've heard are going. So a marriage conference is not just for people struggling. It's good for anyone who's married. So if you'd like to attend, that is coming up this weekend. And at this time, we have Brother Ryan. He's going to give us some more information about Kairos and then have our call to worship scripture.
Good morning. Once again, I want to thank the pastors for supporting this ministry and allowing me to offer you opportunities to serve alongside of me. The scripture for the Kairos ministry is out of Matthew 25. And it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And the righteous said, "When did we do any of these things for you, Lord?" And he said, "Any of these things you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done to me." And that's what our message is as we go into these prison weekends, that we're bringing the love of Jesus Christ to what we would consider maybe the least of our brothers and sisters, those that have made some pretty bad mistakes, some of them. And one of the ways that we offer for others to serve alongside of us that aren't actually going in the prison is to bake cookies. And it's such a simple offering that you can do that makes such a powerful difference in the lives of those men who may have never felt love in their life. Most of us don't know what it's like to say that we've never, ever felt loved. So we can't even say we understand what that means. But what I've done to assist you is on the back table back there where they got the snacks, and then I put a cardboard box back there, and I have my lovely display lady back. And look at her. Look at that. I didn't even ask her to do that. Amen. She's jumping right in. Thank you. So what she's got there is it's a guide for making the cookies. And I've put it in a Ziploc bag. It's a 1 gallon bag. And what we're asking for is 12 cookies in each bag. All the instructions are there to help you. For those of you that are baking challenged like me, if you read it, it'll tell you exactly what to do. But the biggest thing is we want them all to be consistent, not burnt, broken, right? We want them to be good cookies. And the most important thing is that you take that bag, and I got 28 bags back there with instructions in them. The most important thing is that you take that bag with the intention of changing the lives of the person who receives that bag full of cookies. And this will sound mean, but I'm not trying to be mean, but if that's not your intention, don't take a bag, please. I'll bake the cookies. But if that's your motivation for taking the bag, pray over the cookies as you make them. Pray for the souls of the men who receive them, and lovingly put them in a plastic Ziploc bag, seal it up, and bring it to the church. The pastors have offered to let me use the church to be a collection point, and we'll get into that in a second. But these aren't just cookies. And we're going to show a video here in a moment about a prisoner that's received these cookies and what it meant to him. The one thing I want you to note on the bags is they're not sliders. Like the ones that you would see in the store that are the best ones, those aren't allowed to go in the prison. It has to be the press lock, so there's no pieces that the inmates could take off, because they actually give these bags to the inmates. We need 8,000 dozen. 8,000 dozen. That sounds crazy, but that's true. And I got a breakdown of all of it, but you just got to take my word for it. There's 2,500 inmates that get 2 dozen each. There's like 500 people that work there that get 2 dozen each. There's a dozen for each guy each day. It adds up to like 7,600 some dozen cookies that we need. So they're asking me to get 200 dozen myself, each guy that's serving on the ministry. So I went to Gordon's. And Sister Elena's got it on the picture there. For $19.99, you can buy Elena modified my slide. That'll get them buying them, though, sister. Once they get there, that's good. Amen. For $12.99, unless you don't get there right now. No. They are $19.99. Just so for full transparency, but that's for 10 dozen cookies. So I'm not asking everybody that takes a bag to do 10 dozen cookies. That's not the intention, but it is only $20 for 10 dozen, and I thought that's actually pretty reasonable. So if you want to do that and you feel like God's put on your heart to help serve in that way, you can go to Gordon's and get those cookies and bake them pretty easy, it seems like. March 9th, which is the week before we go in, I'm going to be out here from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. that if you have them, you can bring them out and deliver them. If you need prior arrangements before that, let me know. We'll find a way to get them from you. And the other thing that they're asking me to do is also financial support. So I'm also obligated to $300 for me to donate to the the ministry. It costs $12,000 for a weekend, and there's only 50 of us. So if you do that math, each guy's got to come up with $200 to $300 for us to be able to afford it. The pastors have graciously offered to allow that to come through the church. So we're not doing an offering. That's not what this is about. This is just requesting that if you would feel like you're wanting to support this ministry, you can put money to Sister Karen and all the different ways that we do donations here, and just put Kairos on it. And Sister Karen will prepare that and send it in. I don't need to know. You don't have to give me the money. I don't need to know who's donating. Sister Karen will write a check, and I'll take that down. So I got to get 200 dozen cookies and $300 is what I got to do. So you're welcome to help serve in that light if you feel called to. Now, Sister Elena's got a video. It's only a couple minutes, but I'd like to show a quick video about the Kairos cookies, and then we'll open service.
What do you do with all those cookies on a Kairos cookie?
I usually give mine away. I usually give my Kairos cookies away. I don't go without, as you can see. I think you hear most of the guys that aren't believers down the hallway, they call them Jesus cookies. When are we getting the Jesus cookies? And that's an awesome thing. A non-believer looking and excited about getting something from Jesus. And that's what it's all about anyways. So that's what I do. I give mine away. To get blessings, you got to be a blessing. And that's what I try and do. On the weekend, they give you forgiveness cookies. And when I went through my weekend, it was a time in my life, there was a teetering. There was a lot of stuff going on. I was in a very dark place, and I was part of a group, and this group expected me to do some stuff, and it was going to happen after my weekend. And actually, during my weekend, they give you a brown bag of cookies, and they tell you, listen, give this to the person that you have to give the most forgiveness to. And the person that I was supposed to do something to, I sent that bag of cookies to him, and he had just went through a weekend, so he knew what that bag of cookies meant. So in my weekend, it not only saved my life, but it possibly saved somebody else's life with those forgiveness cookies. Because in me giving those forgiveness cookies, that relationship with that guy was rectified, was reconciled. And those cookies, in many cases, and I'm not saying in all of them, but in many cases, they save lives.
Amen. All right, so now we're going to open service. I'd like to open service today with a scripture out of Psalm 40. Beginning in verse 9, it says, I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed, as you know, Lord. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. You know, I was thinking this week, our pastors, for what's going on about 15 months now, have been talking about reaching and teaching. And I was thinking to myself, that's not supposed to be a season in the church. We're not supposed to keep our mouths shut about his righteousness and his salvation. We're supposed to be proclaiming it to the assembly. We're supposed to be showing it in every day life when we're out there doing our jobs or playing or going to the movies or shop. We're supposed to be proclaiming the goodness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that we shouldn't be letting or waiting for the pastor to tell us what our next season is. We need to stay in the reach and teach season. Even if we go into another season, that season doesn't end. It just gets added to. Amen. So we're just going to keep proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the assembly. That's anywhere you go, anywhere there's other people. Amen. So if you'd stand with me now, we'll pray over the tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to you this morning and donate our first fruits, Lord, that we would just give unto the kingdom of God with cheerful giving, that we would gladly support your kingdom here on earth, Lord, that we just ask you to bless this offering, bless those who are receiving it, bless those who are giving it, bless those who are just here without the ability to give, but here to praise your holy name, Lord. We just ask for a blessing over this entire offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To the God who saves, we sing to the God who always We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
I'm blessed before you. of your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So
come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me.
Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion. Oh, sing it out again. Just sing it. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me. Lift up your soul. You got a line. Sign of those love. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands. So I throw up my hands and praise you. Again and earth, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah, and I know it's not much. Fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul. Down and
take that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
So I know that God is moving right now in this place with us. But as I'm playing and I'm praying up here, and I see our teens up here. And I know in this service we're so accustomed to, when we need prayer for anything, you know, we want the adults to come up here. And the Bible says call upon the elders of the church. In some senses, these kids are the elders of the church right now. They may not be old, but they are growing. They're getting deeper in the Lord. They're becoming wise. So I just want to offer this right now, because, and I do this to them on Wednesday nights too, so I'm sorry, I'm not sorry, I love you, but if you need prayer, I want to encourage you right now to come find some of these teens up here, and they will lay hands on you. And it's, they don't lay hands on people and just say, oh, I pray that you're going to be okay, and I'm telling you, these teens are going to lay hands on you and say, okay, in the name of Jesus, I command all things that are not of God to get out of this person right now. So if you need anything today, I want to encourage you to come up here and find them. They will swarm you like a group of bees on honey. I'm not kidding you. Hallelujah. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of
you, God. No place, no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Than here in your arms, here in your arms. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be.
Here in your love.
Here in your love. Here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul
that I can't contain, that I
can't control.
I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
My heart is the wick. Your love is the flame. And I want to burn for your name.
Open up the gates, let heaven on in. fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Calm down, Spirit, when I move, you make my heart bound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you feel the room,
you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
Heal my soul, pray, you must see. Heal my no, pray, you must see. Oh, Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. Come on, church, keep reaching out to him. God's still moving in our midst. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Manifest your presence among us. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Manifest yourself among us. Oh, wind blow again, bring refreshing to your body. Bring refreshing to your body. We prophesy to the wind, blow on us, bring breath in us, refresh us, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yaramasete, yaradamasi, kedabasi. Yaramananamasi. There's some clarity I want to bring to what's going on right now. But first, I want Sister Trisha Troiano to come share what she just shared with me up here.
All throughout worship, I saw a vision of the Lord. I could see the white robe and just his foot. And he was walking in through the rows in between everyone. And he keeps saying to me, my name is above every name. So what is it that you have placed a name on? Have you placed a name on anxiety? I have anxiety. I have stress. I have, what is it that you have? Because the Lord was squishing these words. He was smashing depression. He was smashing anxiety. He was smashing stress. So whatever you've claimed that you have, put it down and smash it, because the Lord's name is above that name. Yeah. Lay it down at the foot of Jesus as he's walking by and touching you.
Yeah. Hallelujah. So it's not by coincidence what God's doing right now, because Wednesday night, the young people received a message. See, there's a difference between hearing a message and receiving a message. They received a message about identity. And who does God say that I am? Who has Jesus declared I am? What has he declared over my life? Not what this world has said about me. Sister Catherine, she talked about all the voices in this world. And there's only one voice we need to listen to. That's the voice of the Lord. So as Sister Trisha is seeing God do that in the spirit realm, crushing things that have been spoken over people, then Pastor Caleb is calling on the young people who have already received that word. It's been imparted in their heart so that they can now impart it to people in here and say, no, 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 no. Depression does not define you anymore. Anxiety does not define you anymore. You do not carry a name over your head anymore, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So you don't have to carry divorcee over your head anymore. You don't have to carry drug addict over your head anymore. You don't have to carry alcoholic over your head anymore. You don't have to carry guilt and shame and pain over your head anymore. You see, Jesus has made you free. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Hey, Rabasa Brago, Babasi, Correbarona Marona Maso, Correbarona Mamas. Who did? Who? Peyton? Hallelujah. We just had someone receive salvation. Peyton. Who's Peyton? You? Awesome. You received Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we worship you. Come on. Give him praise for what he's doing. God's still moving in the midst here. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Just because we begin to receive the revelation of the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's a mouthful, right? It simply put, it means this, guys, that now we realize that Jesus is really Lord. He's Lord of my life. He's Lord of my circumstances. He's Lord of my identity, right? That doesn't mean that the other voices still aren't there. Listen to me. Those other voices are still there. Your own voice is going to try to speak lies to you. There are voices in this world that will try to put labels back on you. And it is us that have to fight the good fight of faith. You hear me? You see, sometimes we think we come into a moment like this. The presence of God is so thick in here. I don't know if, I just feel like a burning in my heart. You feel that? That's the presence of God making himself real, manifesting himself in this place. And some of you may be feeling it or experiencing it in a different way. Some of you may not be experiencing anything at all, but you need to know that God is here with us. And so we come into this moment like this and we think, oh, it's all done. It's all said. No, 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 no. This is the start. This is the strike of the match. This is the beginning of the burning. That when we begin to hear those other voices, now we know that there's a power and an authority that lives inside of us that says, no, I won't listen to that. I don't have to listen to that. Those are lies. That is not the truth. Jesus is my identity. He is who I am. I am in Christ Jesus. And we hear the lies and say, oh, but you're prone to perversion because it's in your family line, or you're prone to alcoholism because it's in your family line. No, Jesus broke the curse of sin and death. That's what the Bible says. It's broken over you. It no longer hangs over you anymore. And you have to remind yourself of that. Who does he say I am? Who does he say that I am? I am healed. I am whole. You see, I want to get past healing. Listen to me. I want to get past healing. What do you mean past healing? People still need, yeah, they need healed, but they need made whole. Body, soul, and spirit. I don't want to just see physical manifestations of people being healed in their body when they still have a soul issue. I don't want to see people come and experience God and go, wow, wasn't that awesome, and walk out still spiritually dead. Peyton is spiritually alive this morning. Hallelujah. Other of us are spiritually alive. We don't want to go through this life dead spiritually, but it's more than just body and spirit. And us Pentecostal charismatics are real bad about focusing on those two things. We like the body part because it is what we can see. So we want to see healings in our midst. And we like the spirit part because we get to run around act crazy and have that halal praise. Speak in tongues and spit on each other and cry on each other and snot on each other. Have ourselves a good time, right? I'm sorry if that was an ugly picture for you. It's just, I'm being honest. And we forget about the soul. The soul is where we're daily living, walking, breathing, moving, and dealing with all of the issues of this world. God wants to make us whole. So what he's doing is he's saying, no, I'm taking control over that depression that wants to attach itself to your soul. I'm taking authority over that anxiety that wants to attach itself to your soul. It's not yours. Don't claim it. Pastor Phyllis Dosick wrote a book, great book, said, don't sign for the package or it's yours. And she dealt with some type of arthritis. I can't even remember the name of it. It's crippling arthritis. You probably know the name, but that name doesn't matter because it comes underneath the authority of the name of Jesus. And God spoke to her and said, don't sign for that package. Meaning, don't say that that's yours. You don't have it. Now, she had evidence that she had it. She had blood work that said she had it. But she believed the report of the Lord. This is not mine. And she'd get up every day and fight through life with pain. Her husband, Pastor Dosick, would have to come into the room and begin to open up her arms and hands and pray over her in the Holy Ghost. And he'd say, honey, if you need to, you just stay in bed. And she'd go, no, I'm not staying in bed. I'm getting up and I'm moving forward because God is my healer. She knew it hadn't manifested in her life yet, but she was still fighting the good fight of faith until she saw it. Listen to me closely. This is instruction for you this morning when you leave this building. Those of you that are going through things. She kept fighting the good fight of faith. They kept telling her, you need to go back and get it checked out. She said, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Finally, the Lord told her one day, now go back and get the testing done. So she went back, got the testing done. Her blood work came back completely clean. Rheumatoid arthritis. That was it called? Rheumatoid arthritis. That's what they said she had. Now listen. Would you know she was still in pain? She was still hurting and still dealing with it every day. And she had not only the report of the Lord now, but she also had the report from the doctor's office that her blood work came back clean. And she's saying, okay, God, I know that I'm healed. I just haven't seen it manifested in my body yet. But I'm proclaiming my healing. She told her family, she called them all together. She said, my blood work came back clean. I'm completely made whole. And she said it was a day after she proclaimed that. She was still suffering. She woke up in the morning completely pain-free, completely set free. Why are you telling us this, Pastor Joe? Because I don't want you to stop short. And this is what we're guilty of in the church world. We stop short. We think this. We start calling this revival. No, no, no. This is a spark. We are on the precipice. This is what I heard the Lord say to me this week in prayer. He said, Joe, the church is on the precipice of revival or an awakening or a moving in my body. And what they need to do is just jump off. What is the precipice? It's an edge of a cliff. You've come to a point where you can go no further and you're right there. And some of you keep edging like this. And some of you are going, did I jump yet? You got to just jump. It's called a leap of faith. You got to abandon everything else. You got to say, I know that I had my plans, my ways, and how I was going to work my life out. But guess what? I'm done with that. Woo! You just jump off. You say, okay, God, I'm all yours. There's no plan B. There's no backup plan. It's you or nothing. If it doesn't work with you, then it won't work. And I will die. But I will die trying to live a life of faith in you alone. It's what God is stirring our body to do right now. Forget about all the other plans. Forget about all the other things that you thought were so important. Jump off in faith and just trust God. He'll catch you. I didn't fall. I almost fell, but I didn't fall. You might almost fall, but you won't fall. It may scare you half to death, but guess what? The other half is still alive. It's alive in Jesus. Yeah. Move forward. Yeah. It's time that we break off this stuff, this baggage that we're carrying. Come on. We're going to go into this song again. We're going to worship God just a little bit more. We're going to let Him do what He needs to do. If you need prayer, if you still have these words rising up in you, then come forward. No one's going to come get you. Listen to me. No one's coming and dragging anybody out of their seats this morning. This is a choice that we have to make ourselves to say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Him. Come on, let's raise our hands and worship God. Us to do next, and don't worry, we're going to get to other things in the service this morning, but God's just stirring in our hearts right now to begin to pray for others. There's a shift in the altar service up here, and there are people that aren't here this morning because they're not well. We need to pray for them, all right? We need to join our faith together and pray for them. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to just find somebody next to you, grab their hand. I know we don't always do it like this, but this is how we're going to do it this morning. It's how I saw the Lord showing me. We're going to come together in unity. Bible says where two of us touching any one thing shall be done, right? Two of us come together in agreement, touching any one thing, it shall be done. And we're a family together. Amen? And we're going to come together and believe. I want you to shout their names out. People who need healing. Right now, shout their names out. People who need healing that you know of. Billy and Karen. I shout those names out right now. God is bringing healing, complete healing. And Holly, I thank you, God, right now. We're joining our faith together. Father, you see us. You see us coming together in unity. You see us. And Lord, I was just reading this week in your word where a man came to you wanting his son to be healed. And you just said, it's done. You didn't go to him. You didn't go meet him. The man was trying to get you, Jesus, to come to his house, and you just said, it's done. And the Bible says that in that self same hour, the boy raised up and was healed. Now, God, we can't be with these people right now. They're not in our midst. They may even be watching online. But God, we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Healing virtue, be released from your Holy Spirit. Bring wholeness to their lives right now. Health to their bones and their minds and their souls and their spirits right now. Those watching online, raise them up right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them experience your love right where they are in the name of Jesus. May they understand the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that we are connected with them right now in a spiritual realm. And God, you are moving, you are healing, you are restoring, God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. For what you have given us, we impart to others right now. And we do it in the Spirit, believing in healing right now. We believe in your mighty healing right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, give him thanks for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're moving. You're touching. You're healing these people we're praying for. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I love it when babies are allowed to just hang out in church. Father, we just speak over this one right now. We speak over him right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We speak over him right now in the name of Jesus. Your destiny, God. Your destiny come forth from him. For you have birthed him and brought him for such a time as this. You have placed him in the earth for your purpose, for your will. We declare it to be so over his life right now. In the name of Jesus, your anointing, oh, hallelujah. Your anointing flow through this one to bring forth your glory in the earth. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. He's wearing Simba. Now, this doesn't mean anything to you, but it means something to me. Because when I was in prayer, I saw, you remember how when Scar took over and everything died and was dark, and then all of a sudden, Simba was raised up to leadership again, and all of a sudden, sun just began to shine on the earth. It took over the earth there, and everything started coming back to life. I saw that in worship this morning. I did. And he's wearing Simba. I didn't know that. I just saw him down there. The Lord said, go grab him and pray over him. I'm telling you, God is, yes, there's darkness, great darkness upon the face of the earth right now. But I got news for you. God is shining his most glorious light. And there's life coming back. That's what revival is. Amen? That's what revival is. I'll give you back. Listen to me. Listen to me. I know that our nation is, there's a stirring and a revival. And I want to warn some of you. Do not speak against what God's doing. It may not look like what you think it would look like. It may not have happened where you thought it would happen. You hear me? I've been so happy and joyous and so frustrated and irritated at the same time this week, seeing different reports about this. And this is what I appreciate about the people who are there stewarding it. You know what steward means, right? To steward something, to take care of it, to watch over it, to cultivate it so it can continue to grow. They had the opportunity to be on national news and they turned it down. They're like, no, listen. We don't want to mess with what God's doing here. We don't need you coming in with your TV cameras and all this stuff. God is the only one getting glory out of this. And there's word that it's breaking out from Asbury to other campuses. Now, I'm just going to share with you, I felt compelled to do this. Because I've had a lot of people asking me around here what I think about this, you know, what's going on. Some of you are contemplating going. And look, if that's what you feel in your heart you need to do, then go. Go be a part of it. But I'm just going to share with you what God said to me. Because see, I'm a revivalist. I've studied revivals. I like being in a revival atmosphere. And so my heart was like, hey, let's go check this out. It's only in Kentucky. It's not that far. And the Holy Spirit checked me. Now listen to me. This is what happened. The Holy Spirit checked me. And he said, no. Stay where you are and steward what I'm doing there. And I was thankful for that. Now, like I said, if God is speaking to you to go, then heed the voice of the Lord. I'm heeding the voice of the Lord in my life. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? All right? But what God is doing here is still Him in all of His glory. It's just manifested in a different way. And we don't know what's going to come of that. So I don't want to be running all over the countryside chasing after the next big thing when God is already the big thing and He's already here. Amen? So I'm going to just stay here and I'm going to steward what God's doing here. Now, like I said, if you feel like you need to go, then go. But this is what I also heard Him tell me. I'm just saying for me. And this is not that I'm against Asbury. No, I am celebrating what God is doing. But I don't want to get any kind of ideas that are my own. I don't want to go and see what someone else is doing and how God's moving in that and try to bring it back to Carrie and say, well, this is what we need to do. Here's the formula for revival. No, I'll tell you the formula for revival. When people begin to seek the face of Jesus Christ. However that looks, however that is, that's what we're doing here. That's why, how many of you are excited to come to church on Sundays? Right? That's a stirring right there. That's a stirring of a revival and an awakening. And this is why I keep telling you so firmly that this is only the start, is because it's not about us coming together and having good church services. I'm going to tell you this every week until you get it. So you better start getting it. Smile at me. I love you. When we are so revived that this isn't contained inside of a building, and it can't even be contained inside of our person, that's true revival. That's when we're like, no, we got to go tell everybody about this. We got to tell everybody about what Jesus is doing in us. We got to share with this. Oh, I don't care if I lay hands and speak in tongues on somebody at Walmart. I'm going to do it because they need healing. And we're going to see them get up and walk out of their little scooter chair because they can't walk around Walmart. It starts in us, not in a building. We come gathering together and it starts in us, not in a building, right? And that's what God's doing. Okay. Come on, darling. We got to do the formality of things this morning. And you guys all may be seated. We want to do this quickly because we feel like it is important.
We are excited to welcome some new members this morning. So as we call your name, go ahead and come up. They have completed membership classes and are feeling called because it is a calling to join a congregation to be part of the body here. And so Gary and Melissa, Becky and Randy, Blake and Abby, Dunia and Darius, Daniel, Catherine is not here today. She's someone we were praying for. She's not feeling well. Julie and Jerry, Tammy and Jerry, Mike and Pam, Jake and Carrie, Tina and Nick, and Jess. And can we give them a hand as they come?
Yeah. Come on up. I have a mic. There's a couple things I want to say first, and go ahead and put that first slide on there if you would, please. But there's a couple things that I want to say first of all to you is we do take membership, formal membership in this congregation. But anybody who comes to this church, attends this church regularly, we consider you a member. All right? This is people who have said that they wanted to come and be a formal member of this congregation. They want to be a part of this voting body, so to speak. But all of you, please listen to me. My heart is kingdom-minded, all right? Now, we do formal things like this, but yet we're kingdom-minded. And God's doing some big stuff in us, and I don't want any misconceptions to squash that. So that's why I'm saying this right now. And first and foremost, I want you all to know that our vision statement is Luke 4:18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because He has anointed us. First and foremost, to preach the gospel, right? We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to bind up broken hearts. We're going to set the captives free. We're going to see blind eyes opened. We're going to set at liberty them that are bruised. And, now 19's not up there, but we're going to also preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? We're going to do those things. This is what God's called us to do because He's given us His anointing. And so, as a church, we first want to make a commitment to you, those of you that are joining, and this is what we'll do for you.
We pledge to be your family. We are a family atmosphere here. We pledge to support you, to love you, to care for you, and give nourishment to you both spiritually and physically, and to offer fellowship.
When you rejoice, we will rejoice. And when you weep, we will weep. And when you suffer, we will suffer. And when you are honored, we are honored.
For we are one body and have been put together as it has pleased our Father. And so when we say we are doing these things, it's not Pastor Joe and I. It is this congregation. We are one body together. And those are the things that we offer you as new members to this congregation.
Amen. So this is the commitment we're asking of you. And if you agree to this, when I get to the answer, or to the end of this, just answer, I do. Do you publicly confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and in so doing, pardoned you from all your sins? If so, answer, I do.
Do you believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, and declare by the help of the Holy Spirit, you will live to uphold its doctrines and teachings? If so, say, I do.
Are you willing to be subject to the counsel and admonition of those who are over you in the Lord? If so, answer, I do.
Are you willing to support this church with your attendance, tithes, and labor in the Lord with the best of your ability as He prospers you to do so? If so, answer, I do. We want to read Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 21. In whom all the building is fitly framed together,
yes, Lord,
grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And we've been talking a lot about this. We are coming into this temple, but we are the temple. Yes. So this is a gathering place for the church, but we are the church. Amen. And so each of you have a purpose. Each of you have a ministry.
Yes.
And so we encourage you, and I'm going to remind you of those who are sitting out there, you need to know what God has created you to do.
Yes.
And we need to be busy about our Father's business.
Amen.
Because the world depends on us.
Amen. So if I can have our board of trustees and our leadership team come forward, we want to lay hands on these and pray over them and bless them and just welcome into our faith community that way. Hallelujah. And congregation, if you'll stand with us, like I said, this is a whole thing that we do together. We're just going to welcome these people into our local body with us and bless them and pray over them. Amen. Just stretch your hands this way. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you, God, for these people that you've sent our way. to join themselves to us, to be a part of what you're doing through us. Now God, I pray blessing upon their homes, their families. Prosper them and keep them in good health, even as their souls prosper, God. And God, I pray that you would help them to grow in the giftings that you've placed upon their life, that they would not just be joining a church, but be building your kingdom, God. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rests upon each of them, that gives them the ability to do what they cannot do in themselves, but they can only do through you and for you. And God, I pray that this would begin to flow from them like rivers of living water out of their belly, reaching the world around them, Father. We impart it, we release it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Give them a hand, please. So those who are becoming members today, at the end of service, if you'll go to the Welcome Center, they have a book for you to sign up as a member. And then I also encourage you at the end of service, the congregation, find someone up here and talk to them. Hug their neck at the end of service. And you guys, find somebody you don't know.
Yes.
Somebody you don't typically talk to, because that is how the body stays connected. You guys may have a seat. Thank you so very much.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As they're going back, if they want to release students to the classes and take babies to the nursery, you can do that now. What time is it? Preach. I am so excited about what God's doing in our midst. I want you to know that. And He's doing some big stuff. Now, when it comes to being a family, when it comes to be individual members, one of another, we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to see eye to eye. But if we keep the main thing, which is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him risen from the dead, and Him redeeming us from our sins, then we can work through it. Amen? And I want to encourage you, let's keep marching on. Let's keep marching forward to do what God would have us to do. I've been preaching to you about what is the vision for this church. And for me to be able to really relay that, I had to start with us as individuals. And that's step one. And I want to reiterate something that was said already this morning. Brother Ryan made mention of it, that, you know, there are things that God gives us to focus on, but that doesn't mean that when we're done with it, oh, we just move on and we're done with that. So the church is always reaching people, and the church is always teaching people. And I want to remind you that the church is not a building. Neither is it a pastor. If the church was a pastor, then there wouldn't be no name for the church. They would just call it the pastor. Right? The church, which in the original language is ecclesia, is actually a group of people who come together who have been sent by God, ordained by God, to do His work, to carry out His work, and to perform His government upon the earth. And that's the church. That's a body of people. And so we live in a generation. Let me just walk you down through this, and then I'll get into the word real quickly. But we live in a generation that everyone sees everything as the statues of a structure, something that's been built. If I ask you, where's Congress at this morning, you're going to tell me it's in Washington, D.C. But the truth is, that's not Congress. That's where Congress meets. Congress is a people who have been voted in to represent us. That's what Congress is. So the church is no different. The church is a people who God has rescued from death, right? That's what the scripture teaches us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. He made us alive and then appointed us to be His carriers of His glory and His gospel, His message to share with the world. And so step one is making sure that we're right, that we're okay, that we're where we need to be. Because if something's not right in us, then something's not right in the church. You see, I'm really trying to get you to take on responsibility like you never have before. We live in a specialized society. How many of you, don't raise your hands, you'll show your age. How many of you remember the general practitioner doctor that you went to that person for everything? Even to deliver babies. Well, I had one person raise their hand, they're not afraid to show how old they are. I mean, how many of you remember, some of you may not remember this, but somebody in here may remember when they actually were traveling doctors and came from house to house, right? Now we live in a specialized society that if you got something going on with your bones, you got to go to the bone doctor. If you got something going on with your heart, you got to go to the heart doctor. If you got something going on with your liver, you go to the liver doctor. You got something going on with your feet, you go to the feet doctor, and blah, 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 and all this and that and the other, right? And you really don't get to see the doctor anyway. You get to see all the hard-working nurses that don't get paid near as much as the doctors do. Because we've created this specialized society. Even mechanics. You have people who just do services. Then you have people who actually do engine repair. Then you have people who do transmission repair. It's a specialized society. And if we're not careful, church, we will put that attitude upon the church. And the specialists of the church are the pastors and the leaders of the church. And so I come and I attend to get what I want because they're the specialists. No. That is not biblical at all. God has called each and every one of us to fulfill our purpose that He has set in our life for Him. So it's not just about coming to a church. That's where God's getting us away from this stuff. Well, let's just come to a building. No, no, no. We are the church. Everywhere we are. And so I want to move in this morning from step one, which is personal devotion, personal development. Not that we're moving on from that. We're carrying that with us, right? But now we have to see a little bit bigger of a picture, which is the connection of us to one another. It's not just us in our own little world, but there is also brothers and sisters in Christ that we have to be connected to, the church overall. So go with me in the Bible in 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. And we're going to start dealing with this subject as the church overall. Step 2, which is us coming together as a unified church, a unified body of believers. And the Bible says this: "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." We talked about this last week some. "If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Listen to this: "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now notice that. Catch that. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, it doesn't say that we have fellowship with Him. That's a given, right? Everything else before that states that we have fellowship with God Himself. But as we come to God and begin to walk or live, do life in Him, because He is light, right? The Bible even said that Jesus is the light of the world, okay? As we do that, we have fellowship one with another. So here's the lie that is being penetrated in our generation. And this is it. You ready for it? Well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to connect myself to other believers to be a Christian. I can just follow Jesus myself. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will, everybody say will, have fellowship one with another. So the church is bigger than just you being connected to Jesus in your own heart. And if you live a life of Christianity that is solely stuck on you getting to heaven, that's a very selfish Christianity. And it is a disobedient child. You say, well, how do you say that, Pastor? Well, let's see here. Jesus commanded his followers, his disciples, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, casting out devils, doing good works, all these things, speaking in tongues, he even says. And then he says that you should go make disciples, you should go teach people, you should go. And then in other places he said you should even join yourselves together. So if we have this idea or this thought that, no, me and God are good, and I ain't trying to knock anybody, but there's an old song that used to say, me and Jesus got our own thing going. And I understand the heart of that song and what it meant, but some people didn't, and they just started declaring, hey, me and Jesus are all right, we got our own thing going. Well, then you're a disobedient child. Ouch. If you aren't winning souls, you're a disobedient child. If you aren't discipling somebody, you're a disobedient child. You see, God called us to come together. And not just for church people to hang out with church people and call it church and have a good time. No. He called us to come together and have fellowship one with another. That's why we made the statement to you this morning. When you hurt, we hurt. When you rejoice, we rejoice. When you are honored, we are honored. Why? Because we are one. Go back and read what Jesus said in the Gospels. Jesus talked a lot about oneness. Coming together and being one, not only with him, as he is one with the Father. He even prays this over us, not just the disciples then. He prayed it over everyone who would believe from the disciples' teaching. That's us. Hello. He said that as I am one with the Father, I pray that they would be one with me and one with each other. That they would come together in oneness. In holiness, come together, love one another. The Bible also says that they will know, Jesus made the statement, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. Let me ask you this question. It's a rhetorical question. Please don't answer it. How well do you think we're doing as the body of Christ in the world at showing love one to another? I saw people proclaiming that because Asbury was of a different denomination than they are, that they just couldn't accept that as true revival. Because the denominational stance is blah, 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 and their denominational stance is blah, 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 blah. And it just dumbfounded me because they were talking about how they believe in a move of the Spirit and how God wants to move. And I'm thinking, well, maybe in spite of doctrinal stances, God's moving in his Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we forget doctrine isn't always Bible. Yeah. Yeah. I don't care what name you have on the door. I don't care what name you've labeled yourself. I don't care how you was baptized. Were you baptized because you love Jesus? Well, guess what? We're family. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go serve Jesus together. Let's go take the world for Jesus and build his kingdom. We have fellowship one with another. So this is the next step. Is not only are we looking at our own hearts, at our own lives, and saying, okay, God, am I right with you? Am I good with you? But am I right with my brothers and sisters? Because this is my prayer. What God's doing in us, I keep praying, God, make it sustainable. Make it sustainable. You see, like I said, I'm a revivalist. I love revivals. I love studying revivals, awakenings, and what I have found is that they all dissipate. And there's a lot of foolishness that comes out of it along with the good. Foolishness comes out of it. False teaching comes out of it. People start believing things that aren't true because they get focused on the manifestation instead of the one who manifested it. So I keep praying, God, I know you're doing something great in us. I know you're moving in us, but God, help us sustain this thing. Help us to keep it holy. Help us not to allow goofiness to come in. And at the same time, if it's you and you're doing strange things among us, then let us just let you do what you're doing. That's what you should be praying too. See, we know it's God because we'll have peace about it. When the old time Pentecostal people started first shaking and dancing and shouting, and they would shake their bobby pins loose and all that, people kicked them out of their church because they said, how could that be God? But it was God moving. It was God moving in that. And what that did is it created disunity. And what my heart is let's all just come back together and just love Jesus. And if we got someone screaming over here in this corner, someone weeping over here in this corner, someone running up and down the aisles in this aisle, someone bowing and praising God, don't you know that all of those things are in the Bible? So let's let people do what they're going to do, as long as it's in decency and in order, right? The Holy Spirit will do that. So far, everything's been in decency and order. And let's just let the church leadership handle it in love instead of going, well, bless God. Why do they say bless God? It doesn't bless God when they're getting ready to say something really stupid. They say bless God. It doesn't bless God. I guess they say it because they're trying to bless God in spite of what they're doing. It's time we get together. It's time we start looking past everybody's faults and failures. I got them. Do you? I mean, that's why step one is self-reflection. That's why step one is, hey, let me take a good look at me, God, in the sight of you. And where am I, God? And I don't line up to you at all. Because it humbles ourselves. We realize, oh my goodness, I'm not where I need to be. And then we stop looking at the splinter in our brother's eye when we got a big old beam hanging out of our eye. It's time that we come together and love one another. Now, last week I told you Genesis 1, 16 through 18. I'm just going to read this real quickly to you. We hammered this real hard last week, but I just want to refresh your memory. It says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars, that's the moon. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night. And to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Now we fully understand from last week's teaching that this is also a representation, not just the creation, but this is also a representation of the church and Jesus. Jesus is the sun, the church is in the moon. The church is the moon. We reflect the light of the sun. And we shine it in the earth, and God has set us, the ecclesia, to rule things in the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to get all political about stuff. That means we just get spiritual about stuff, right? And so as we have already started self-reflecting, dealing with what's in our own heart, now we're moving and carrying that with us into going, okay, let's join arms. Let's link arms, arm in arm together, and let's do this together. Let's go out and shine the light of Jesus together. And this just keeps burning in me. As living in God's holy temple, we've been talking about that, right? That doesn't just mean personally, but that means all of us coming together. And as we shine as one light, think about this. As one light, we shine as one light, not little lights here and there. Then the light becomes greater and overtakes the darkness even more. That's why God wants us to assemble ourselves together. That's why God wants us to come together, working together as a team, having fellowship one with another. When one of our lights begins to flicker, someone goes, hey, no, God's good. And we fan the flame. We encourage one another. We feel like we're running out of some oil. Well, we just get a fresh application from the Holy Spirit. That's what Sundays are about. This is not church. We are the church. This is our rallying time. This is where we come together and encourage one another. This is where we say, hey, keep on keeping on, brother. Don't quit fighting the good fight of faith. Hold on. Hold fast to those promises. Yes, I know it's been a rough week and it seems like all hell has come at you. But know this, that our Savior has overcome the world. He's overcome hell. He's overcome the grave. He's overcome everything. So let's just keep holding on until we see it manifested. And when you don't come, you don't get that. You see, people have equated pastors preaching for them to come to church as they want my money. What a shallow Christianity. I already assume because you love Jesus that Jesus has already got your money. I don't want your money. I want something much deeper than that. I want your life. Because God wants your life. And I want you to say, you know what? I'm giving my life for the cause of the gospel. Why? Why would we do that? Why would we say, yes, I give my life for the cause of the gospel? Because he first gave us his life. I say that's a pretty fair trade, wouldn't you? I mean, he's given us eternal life, so I can give him the life that I live down here. It's a fair trade. It's light afflictions we go through, and it's only for a moment. And it's time that we as the church come together and begin to realize that we have an eternal goal that we're focusing on. And there are other people who don't even know about this eternity. And until they know about it, they cannot spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. That should burn within every Christian's heart. He's calling us to come together to be a unified body. So step two is a unified body. Now, I want you to catch this. We say this all the time, and then we just overlook stuff. We don't even understand what we're saying. But how many of you, and I want you to raise your hand on this one, have said, God is my source. God is my source. Oh, yeah. God's. Raise your hand nice and high. Yeah. God, he's my source. And he is, right? He's my source. I don't depend on anything but him. He's my source. He takes care of me. He clothes me. He puts shelter over my head. He puts shoes on my feet. He puts food on my table. He's my source. He brings everything to me, right? We say this all the time. So if we are made in God's image, in his likeness, and we are the ones that are reflecting God into the world, and God is the source, that God is the source of all life, all breath, all living things, right? Then that means that his people are his resource. Not your finances. That's not your resource. That's not the, I mean, that's not God's resource. Financial blessings are not God's resource. This building is not God's resource. All the tools we use are not God's resource. Those are our resources. We are God's resource. Therefore, if God wants to make an investment in the world, he spends us. He gives us. Can you just see him right now stacking up people going... He gives us. We got this whole mentality. Oh man, we just need God to move. We need God to move. And God's going, I sure would like to. I sent you. Now go move. The church is God's resource. He's the source. We are the source again from what he's given us. And when we begin to equate resources as monetary things, property that we own, things like that, then we belittle what God's really doing. Because God is much more elaborate and expensive than that. See, we think millionaires and billionaires got it. No, no, God's got it all. He's got a people that no man can number. He's got a resource that is so elaborately expensive that the only thing he could do to buy this resource was to send his only begotten son to sacrifice and die and give his life so that he could buy and purchase this great resource. He gave himself. He gave himself to purchase us. And we throw that around willy-nilly like it means nothing. Church, it's time that we realize how important we are to the kingdom of heaven, how much God spent on us so that he could then reinvest our lives into this world. Some of you are investment people. You understand what I'm talking about. God wants to invest your life so that he can get an increase, a profit back from it. Let me ask you this. This is another rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand. What kind of return is God getting on you? What kind of return is God getting on you? Have you buried all the gifts that he's put inside of you? Because you know, well, you know, you're a tough taskmaster, Lord, so I didn't want to lose anything. Did you bury it? Did you hide it within yourself? Or did you give it? Because the only way we can get more is we give. That's the principle in the kingdom. And we talk about that financially all the time. But how about our lives? How about our lives? How about we come together as a church and we just proclaim to God, God, spend us. Here we are, God. We come together as a unified body to shine for you. We give our lives to you. Spend us, God. Invest us in wherever you want us to be invested in. Put us where you want us to be. God has placed you here so that he could spend you in this region so that you would go out and make a difference in the world around you, shining his precious light. God is calling us together. See, we don't get this. We say it, but we don't get it. Nothing can stop a unified church. Upon this profession of faith, I will build my church. Jesus said this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do we understand what that means? No gate in hell, no blockage that hell sends, no kind of bondage that hell tries to come and hold the church back will prevail. But when we stand upon the rock of our salvation, which is Jesus Christ, and we proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ, there's nothing, nothing, nothing that can stop us. Amen. The problem is we have stopped ourselves. By fussing with one another, fighting with one another, bickering about dumb things that don't even matter. Well, when do you believe in the rapture? I believe in pre-trib. I believe in mid-trib. I believe in post-trib. I believe it doesn't matter. Jesus is going to come get us when he says he's going to come get us. And I'm not going to fight you over that. But I will fight for lost souls as I stand with you arm in arm and say, come on, let's go see them saved. Since we don't know when he's coming back, then let's get after this. Yeah. Let's get after it. Yeah. Let's go see people saved. Let's come together as one church, yeah, believing in Jesus Christ. I celebrate what God's doing in Lee University and Asbury University and all these other places. I hear stuff being popped up. And I don't care whether it's true revival or not. I'm not the judge of that. God is. But one thing I do know is God's getting people's attention that he's real. They have to take notice. They have to stop and ask themselves, What's going on here? What's happening? What's taking place? And what does that do for us? It opens a door for the church to go out and be the church and say, hey, you don't know what's going on in Asbury? Well, I do. I've experienced it in my heart. I have revival in my life. And I might not be doing what they're doing, but I'm telling you, 24/7, 365, I have a conversation going on with God all the time. And I might not be in a chapel doing it, but I'm in my body doing it. And let me explain this to you, and let me give this to you, and let me give what God has given to me to you. That's what the church is all about, coming together. But we can't do that if we don't come together. We create confusion and dismay. We cause people to run from the church instead of coming to the church. That's us. They run from us. Because they're going, man, I thought I was going to go get some good news, and all I got was bad news about the church down the road. Come on. We're too busy trying to outshine each other. Do we forget we're on the same team? Shining the same light? Jesus is the one that said, hey, if he's not against us, he's for us. Let him go. I'm telling you, God is doing something in the earth right now. Let me read these scriptures so I can get through them. We'll probably come back to them. But I'm going to stop at Matthew. We're going to read Matthew, and then I got to get moving on here. You are the light of the world. Jesus said this to us in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do people light a lamp, but put it under a basket. But on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now he's speaking to a group of people here. And while we need to take this individually, we also need to understand that we come together collectively as one body to shine the light. Now, our theme is the lighthouse, or our vision, I guess. It's our name, and it's more than just a name. It's our identity. It's the vein that God has given us to preach his gospel. And there's many, many veins to do that. But God has given us the lighthouse, so we're always talking about shining the light. We mean sharing Jesus with people when we say that. Shine the light, share Jesus. Shine the light, share Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. And that's what we're wanting to see us do. But here's the thing. We have to get over our little things that bother us about one another so that we can do this more effectively. I'm preaching to a good church this morning. I'm preaching to a church that's full of love, that loves Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's things that aren't right in us. And if we want to keep this thing going, if we want to make this thing sustainable that God's doing in the earth right now, then we got to get over our hurts, our offenses. We got to get over the people who have done us wrong. We got to get over it. We got to stop caring more about that than we do about the love of Jesus. Jesus told us, hey, let me ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Offenses will come. It's not like he didn't act like it would never happen. Why do we? I think that's a good question to ask ourselves. Offenses will come. He said, listen, it's okay. I love you. I have cared for you. I will continue to care for you. And what you need to do is be unoffendable. Now, there's a difference between having a hurt and an offense. Now, we're not unhurtable. We all have feelings and emotions and things that they get hurt. I think maybe we need to go back to preschool and teach some of this stuff. Guess what? Your feelings are going to get hurt. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody's feelings get hurt. It's when we let it fester, turn into bitterness, and it becomes an offense that it's wrong. How do we handle stuff when things happen in the body? Well, Jesus gives us what we're supposed to do. He says, go to them. There's a novel idea, huh? I tell my wife all the time, I'm weird. I have to be weird because everybody else just doesn't understand this. But if I do something or someone does something to me, I'm like right here, right now. And my wife will attest to you because we've been married for, what, July would be 18 years, right? She's been around me for over 20 years. She knows. Why am I right there? Because I want to fix it. I want to fix it. Sometimes I come across the wrong way, come on too strong. She's like, what, are you attacking me? No, I'm not attacking you. I'm attacking the situation. I want to get it fixed. I don't want this to be here. I don't want there an offense to be between us. And so if I ever come to you like that and you're going, whoa, pastor, what is the deal? No, I'm coming to attack the thing that's trying to get in between us. Because that's what God tells us to do. And it's time that the church stop walking around with a bunch of hurt from each other. And half the time the devil has lied to us and we believed it. You know they did that on purpose. They didn't even have a clue what they did. They didn't even know what they did. It's time we get over it. And what God's doing is He's calling us to a time of maturity. That's what revival will do and awakening will do. It will mature the saints. Why? So we can have good church services? No. So we can go do what we're supposed to do. Because you know, hurt and offended people can't serve correctly. They can't. Everything they do has a problem in it. Because they got this infection. And whatever they give, they're giving with that infection in them. And so, listen, it's been different this morning. I'm not all Pentecostal preachy like I usually am because I need you to get a hold of this. God said, I'm going to do this in a different vein this morning. I'm teaching you. And it's time that we set aside our preferences.
Yes.
We set aside our feelings. And what we do with our feelings is we're not ignoring them. We're not suppressing them. We're not like, oh, that's not really there. No, we're going to go, this is here. See this thing? It's ugly. It's here. Now we need to deal with this because it needs to be removed. That's how we handle it. We don't ignore it. No, this is going to be gone. And then we learn how to go to God continually, that when someone hurts us, we give it to God. We give it to Him and say, okay, Lord, thank you. I'm just believing that they didn't do that on purpose. And if I can't get over it in prayer, then I go to that individual that hurt me. And I say, hey, I'm sorry that I have felt this way, but I have felt this way. I don't want this to be there. That's why I'm coming to you. Let's deal with this. This is the instruction in the gospel that Jesus gives us. This is how we handle things. And if we don't start doing it correctly, then we're never going to accomplish what God wants us to do. That's why I'm dealing with it this morning. And this is where we're starting. We're starting here. That if we have already begun to first step deal with ourselves, then we already see what's in ourselves. And now we can go to our brothers and sisters, have fellowship one with another, and say, come on, let's go conquer the world. Now you may look at this bald-headed guy and say, you're crazy, and I might be crazy, but I believe in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, we can go conquer the world. I believe that. So call me crazy. I'll be crazy for Jesus. Because I'm tired of what I've seen the church do over and over and over and over again. And listen, I know that there are some things that we got to deal with. There's some things we got to take care of. And we can't allow sin to run rampant in the church. I understand that. But we can do that in love and still move forward without offense.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, offenses will cause us to sin. And offenses will cause us to live in sin.
Yeah.
And we need to deal with it.
Amen.
See, God's calling us back to holiness, back to honor, back to openness,
yeah,
back to unity, back to serving Him first and foremost. And when we do all those things, we will do in excellence. These are our core values. And I'm going to keep talking about this stuff. But listen to me, church. It's time. It's time that we heal from this. So I'm closing. How many closings do I get this morning?
All you want.
All I want. All right. He said, I get all I want. So I'm closing. This is my first one. We'll see if it sticks or not. God is doing something in us. God is moving in us. And it's time that we begin to really mature and deal with the things that God wants us to deal with. It's time. It's why God had us start the year consecrating ourselves, taking a deep look at ourselves. And now we got to join together in unity. And it's time to do that, church. It's time. So I just want you this morning to join your faith with me. And, you know, I'm just asking you to say, okay, I'm done with all of the religion. I'm done with all the things that I think church is supposed to be. I'm done with all my preconceived ideas. And I just want to come with a group of people and be the church. I just want to be the church. That means that I'm going to have a stirring in my heart for lost souls. And every Sunday, we've been praying. We made that commitment. We've been praying for lost souls. So we're going to do it again today. And I'm running out of time. I feel it in the spirit, not because of what time it is. I just feel it. This service is coming to a close. So I'm just going to share it with you like this. We've been praying Isaiah 6. And we're going to finish today praying Isaiah 6. At the end of that chapter, God begins to talk about how the people have turned, how the people will no longer listen. They're hearing but not understanding. They keep seeing but don't perceive. He said, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? How long? He said, until cities lay waste without inhabitant, in houses without people, and the land is desolate and waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. He says this. Remember, he said bad things are going to happen. Jesus even said that. And we understand that the landscape of our country is not anywhere close to what we want it to be. And I've been exhorting to you that we need to pray that our eyes be open and see the glory of the Lord that fill this house, this temple, right? And know that He is the ruler of our life. And therefore, we need to repent, let our mouths be purged and cleansed, and then come back and we say, here I am, send me, Jesus. But I want you to focus this morning on this last part. And it says this, and though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. So though it seems like everything is gone, there's still the stump. And later on, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about a stump or a root out of dry ground that is in Jesse, which is David, would spring forth and live again. Now notice this. It says, and though a tenth remain, and though a tenth remain. And this is what I want you to pray with me this morning as we're closing out. I want you to pray for a tenth of our city. When we built this facility right here, we built it for a tenth. This sanctuary here will hold 380 people. That's what the fire people say, Brother Jerry. We'll make sure since fire chief's here, we'll keep that. And then if God starts moving, we'll just say, Jerry, you can't come to church today. I'm just kidding. We built this, is what it says, 380 people. There are 3,600 people in Cary. A tenth. Tenth. You say, well, pastor, we're going to grow bigger than that. Yeah, we are. And we're going to take those people and plant churches elsewhere. And if we have to build on and do all that, we will. But you got to know my heart. It ain't about collecting people. It's about moving and sending people. And so this is what I want you to start praying when we pray for the lost. First of all, we're going to pray for laborers. Like I said at the beginning, we're not just praying for people who need Jesus. We're going to do that. But we're also going to pray that laborers be sent out to reap those people. But then for this church specifically, this body of believers specifically, I want us to start believing for a tenth of carry to be in this building when we come together. Is that doable? Yeah, that's doable. Because he does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we'll get more than a tenth. But if we pray for a tenth, we'll at least get that. And we're already set up for that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And as we move forward, God will guide us and lead us on how we need to make changes so that we can reach more people. But I'm telling you, part of the vision for this year as the church coming together in step two is we're going to believe God for a tenth of our city. Will he do it? Will he do it? Now that's the question. Will we do it? Because if we're going to get a tenth of our city, that doesn't mean that we just get to sit here and go, oh God, send us a tenth of our city. It means that we're going to go out and reach people. Because we first said, here I am, send me. Come on, let's pray. Father, you see our hearts this morning. You see our desire, it's not to make a name for the lighthouse, it's not to make a name for ourselves, but it's so that you may be glorified in the earth, so that people will be rescued and saved from eternal death, eternal hell. God, we pray for the lost right now. Lord, you see those that are on our hearts, our family members, our friends, our neighbors. You know every one of them, God, that need you. We pray for them right now that they would get a revelation of Jesus Christ, that they would come to know you, Lord, as their Savior and Lord, and they would give you their lives as we have given our lives to you. But God, we have given our lives to you, and so therefore we are yours. We are your resource in the earth. And God, I ask you right now to give us, to spend us, to move us, to motivate us, to be laborers in your fields, to reap the harvest, God, to bring people into your fold so that people would be rescued from eternal death. But God, I pray now that for this local body of believers, we pray for the whole church for that to happen, but for this local body, we stand together in faith and we're believing for a tenth of our city. Believing for a tenth, God. That if we have that tenth, Lord, we can continue to grow and do what you've called us to do. And so, God, we're asking you to grant it in this year, a tenth of our city, so that then we can reach our region for you. So, God, we ask you to grant it. We ask you to grant it through us, Lord, that we would follow your leading of the Holy Spirit and do what you've told us to do so that your will can be accomplished in the earth. God, I pray that you would spark every heart that calls this place their home church. Spark their hearts right now, God, to believe for a tenth of the city, that we could see more people delivered and set free by your grace, Father. We thank you for everything that you've done this day. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through your people in this world right now, in our nation. God, those are answers to our prayers, Lord. We're seeing it happen. We give you thanks for it. I pray that you would bless every family that's here. Bless their homes. Help them to continue to walk with you. I pray that you would help us to walk in the anointing you've placed upon our lives so that we can fulfill your purpose to preach your gospel, to lead others to your feet, to see them healed, set free, delivered, and to preach that this is the year to receive Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful Sunday. Thanks for coming this morning.